All right, this is March 19th, and this is spring cleaning.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. And you are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of that. To make us aware that we are one with this thing that we call God, we are one with this thing called the universe. This is a teaching of a unity. We are connected. And we can learn to use that connection so that we can bring into our life all the wonderful things that we want. Most people do not believe, because the world is so convincing, that we are here to enjoy this experience. This thing that we call God, you can call it anything that you want. We call it God. You can call it the universe. You can call it intelligence, wisdom, whatever. Would not create something and put it on this plane of action and say goodbye, figure it out for yourself. We can figure out life, and we figure out life by using our mind or our consciousness. We are one with the consciousness of God. That consciousness is in us, as us, and through us. And we actually live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. I used to start these classes out with the idea that you are gods and goddesses. And I hope that that has now come into your consciousness and you realize that you truly are gods and goddesses. It says in the Bible, ye are gods. That is completely passed over by brand name religions. But it is absolutely true. You cannot make this statement, all there is God, and then think that there is something else going on. It's always going to be consciousness. It's always going to be God. And what comes into your life because of the way you are thinking. It's done with your mind. That is that wonderful thing that we have been given called the mind. That is the gift that has already been given. And we are learning to use that gift, to unwrap it and see it for what it is. See the power that it has so that we can draw into our lives the things that we want to draw into our lives and not be bothered with what I call the nits and fleas of life. The world is very convincing. It wants to tell you that you have troubles and tribulations all the time. If you remember, one of the master teachers, Jesus, said, I have overcome the world. And that's what we are here, and that's what this teaching is all about, to learn to overcome the world. The world is too convincing. The world teaches fear. It never teaches success. This teaching teaches success. This teaching does not tell you how to think. It teaches you how to think. How to think correctly. How to think great thoughts about yourself. How to come to a realization that you are wonderful. You are wonderful human beings. You are a magnificent human being. You have a splendor inside of you which is waiting to be released. And you and I must learn how to release that splendor. Also, you are familiar with the little saying that I use, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is, because God is everything. And God is everywhere. I have a little card here that I just came across the other day, and it's very similar to all that I am is God, but I am not all God is. You are the focus of an infinite idea. You are the focus of an infinite idea. You exist. So you are being you. You are God, being you. You have to come to that conclusion that you are God. You can create the same as this thing which we call the big I am. If we call it the big I am, then you're the smaller I am. But you're contained within that. And you have those same qualities to be able to create what you want in life. So, This month, we're talking about spring cleaning, and we're talking about spring cleaning because we're taking a hint from nature. Spring is tomorrow, and with spring comes all things new. And that's what also this teaching is about. It's about the renewal of your thinking, or the renewal of your mind, so that you can think differently. You can think bigger, better thoughts about yourself. The whole idea is what you think about, you bring about. But the main thing to remember is we're always talking about consciousness. We're always talking about mind. So last week, and we'll do another one this week, on meditation, where we go inward and we clean out all the things in our subconscious mind, and in our conscious mind, all the old habits, hurts, hates, rejections, that we do not want. They're not serving us. Now is the time to get rid of those. And you must uproot those from this garden in your mind. Throw them out so that something new can grow in there. But since we're always talking about mind, we're always talking about consciousness, there's not this idea, you know, we divide things so that we can talk about them. We say there's body, mind, and spirit. And people think, well, there's three different parts of me. There's not three different parts of you. They're all combined. We just, in order to discuss something and make it a little clearer, we divide that up. But you cannot say, this is my soul, and this is my body, and this is my mind. It's all one great big package. The same way we say there is a conscious mind and a subconscious mind. We just do that so that we're able to talk about something. It's just mind. What I want you to understand, there's only mind, and it's only the mind of God, or the mind of the universe. And we are all individualized expressions of that one mind. And we can all use that one mind, you see. So when we're thinking bigger, better thoughts, we're using the mind of the universe, or the mind of God. So when we do these things, these inward things, and we do a meditation and so forth, you have to realize that the outside of life and the inside of life are one and the same thing. They're one and the same thing. They just appear to be different. And we talk about the outside of life and the inside of life. Now, what do I mean by that? Paula, last week, said she was going home to clean and this, that, and the other thing. And tonight at dinner, I heard that somebody else in the room here, Christine, is going to go home and do spring cleaning and tidy up. When you're tidying up the outside of your life, you're tidying up the inside of your life. When you're tidying up the inside of your life, you're tidying up the outside of your life. When you do cleaning around the house, you must remember, when I'm cleaning, I'm wiping away something, the dirt on the outside of life. I'm cleaning my mind. I'm cleaning my consciousness. I'm getting rid of all the clutter and so forth that's in my thinking. You see, you have to know that the inside and outside are one and the same thing. When we change the inside of life, the outside of life changes. So if you're going to be cleaning and so forth, think of that. What am I cleaning? Yes, I'm cleaning the top of my desk. I'm cleaning that. I'm organizing my desk. I'm organizing all the drawers. I'm putting everything in the file cabinets exactly the way it's supposed to be. You're also doing that in your mind. Your mind now is becoming clear. You see, it's not that cluttered, horrible mess. If you have clutter on the outside of life, you have clutter on the inside of life. It cannot be any other way. It cannot be any other way. So, here's something, and I haven't brought this up in a long time. Does anyone remember the first law of heaven? The first law of heaven is order. Always, the first law of heaven is order. You have to put your life in order. You have to put your thinking in order. People want peace of mind. They want to reach this thing that we call heaven. They want to reach all these things. You cannot do it unless you have order. Can you imagine the mind of God being disorderly? If the mind of God was disorderly, the planets would run into each other. There would be chaos in the universe. There's not chaos in the universe. The universe is run in an orderly fashion. And we must learn to run our lives in an orderly fashion. So we can take hints always from the outside of life, from the bigger things in life like nature. So we know that in springtime, new things appear. New life appears. So why not new life in your thinking? Why not get rid of all the old stuff that's in there? And that's why we did that meditation, and we'll do another one this evening, even bigger, where we plant what we want in the garden of our mind, and we do it in an orderly fashion. And then we put a sign there, what we have planted, so that we remember what's going to come up, what is going to come. It's that old idea from the Fantastics, plant a radish, get a radish every time. Whatever you plant in your mind, you're going to receive on the outside of life. But you have to have an orderly mind. And then we don't go back into the fear and hate and all the different things that we come up with that the world tells us has to. Because that just destroys your garden. And you do not want to destroy your garden. You want to keep your garden orderly. You want to keep it neat. You want to nourish it and fertilize it with the right thinking. With the right thinking. So, the outside of life and the inside of life are all one and the same thing. We separate it so that we can talk about it, you see. You can tell exactly what somebody's mind is like by seeing what their home is like. If your home is disorderly, you have a disordered mind. You cannot get around that. There's no way that you can get around that. Years ago, when I was helping AIDS patients, I knew the ones that would make it and the ones that wouldn't make it when I walked into their house. If the garbage cans were flowing over and the ashtrays were flowing over and the house was in dishevel, I knew right away that their minds were the same way. So when there was no way. Those people all died, by the way. They made their transition because they could not get an orderly mind. They could not think correctly. And that's what this teaching is about. It's about an orderly mind. A mind thinking the right thoughts. And getting rid of the thoughts that you don't want. Here again, Ernest Holmes said, and I believe it's on page 181 of Science of Mind, you must learn to think the thought that you want to think. And feel the feeling that you want to feel. What thought do you want to think? You can do that. All right. With that, Andy, would you say this and pass it around, and then I'll continue.
I let go of resentment, worry, and negative habits.
Yes, read it.
Let go of resentment, worry, and negative habits.
I let go of resentments, worry, and negative habits. It's just a habit. We are conditioned to worry. We are conditioned to worry. You cannot say all is God and then worry. Here again, one of the master teachers, Jesus, said, worry will not add a cubit to you. A cubit is a measurement. So all the worry in the world will not change anything. It will not change anything. And they have proven that 98%, now how they do this always amazes me, but they tell me, 98% of all the things that you worry about never come to pass. They never come to pass. They're just useless. And how many times in your life have you done that? You worry about this, that, and the other thing. It never comes to pass. It's just a waste of your energy. It's a waste of your mental energy. And here again, that garden of your mind, when you're worrying and so forth, you're not tending to your garden. You're allowing the weeds to come up and suffocate what you've already planted. But we are taught, and many people, and I grew up in an atmosphere of that, the more you worry about something, the better it's going to be. If you put in a lot of worry about something, that means you're really doing something. That's absolute nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. This thing called God, this thing called mind that we're living, moving, and ever being in, has no worries whatsoever. No worries whatsoever. Remember, take no concern for tomorrow. Take no concern for tomorrow. It's only here in this moment. And you can make yourself, I passed out a sheet which I'm not going to read to you about happiness and so forth. These are attitudes that you have to. Happiness is an attitude. Everything is an attitude. And that's the most amazing thing in the world, is to realize that you can change your attitude any time you want to change it. In fact, I will read a statement here. The greatest discovery in my life is that a human being can alter their life by altering their attitude. That's William James. If you do not know who William James is, William James was the father of American psychology. William James said that. The greatest discovery of my life is that a human being can alter their life by altering their attitude. What is your attitude in life? You can change that attitude. Many people think, oh, I can't change that. That's the way my whole family thought, or that's the way everyone thinks. Don't go down that road. Know that you have the power to change your attitudes. We're talking always about mind. We're always talking about consciousness. Consciousness is pliable. Your mind is pliable. They now know that it's plastic, your mind. It has plasticity to it. You can change your mind. You can change anything that you held for a long time. Any belief, any idea, you can change that. Doesn't matter. We were taught what? As children, I was taught, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's absolutely a falsehood. That is what the world is telling you. We are not teaching the teachings of the world. We must give those ideas up. That learn, you can learn at any age, and you can learn something new, and you can change. Well, you often hear people say, well, I've always been that way. Well, if you're not happy being that way, change it. You have to come to that conclusion that you have the power to change your thinking. That is what this is all about. And it's only done that way. This thing called God cannot change your mind. Many people pray to God and say, I want to be this, I want to be that, change this, change that. God doesn't change things. Only you change things. And you change it by thinking differently. You change it by thinking bigger, better thoughts about yourself. You change it by thinking bigger, better thoughts about this thing called God. You've heard me say this many times, and I'll say it once again. If you're not getting what you want in life, it is because your God is too small. You must kick that God out and get a bigger God. You must kick that God out and get a bigger God. I also say this one. Everyone knows that God is mighty. You have heard that since day one. Somewhere along the line, the world has taught you that one. Brand name churches teach you all the time how mighty and what a mighty force this thing called God is. But they never tell you that God is useful and you can use God. That is sacrilege to most people when you say, I'm using God. Well, what else are you using? What else are you using? There's nothing but God, so you must be using God. So start to use God, you see? Know that His power is in you, as you and through you. And that you can tap into it, then you can use it. And you tap into it with your mind, with your consciousness. And then you let that power come through. You let that power come through you all the time. I tell you all the time. Most of the time, I have no idea people come to me for counseling. I'm very good at it, by the way. But sometimes I have no idea what the person's talking about. And I just say, I have no idea what this person's talking about. But I know you do, God, so do something about it. And lo and behold, it's done. You see, I never take credit for that stuff. I am just a conduit for those things. It's always going to be the Father within that doeth the work. It's always going to be that. You see? And we think, because we have this little mind, this ego mind and so forth, that we must figure all this stuff out. I can't figure all that stuff out. I have other things to do. I'm here, remember, to enjoy myself. I'm the fun and entertainment committee. God is the ways and means. So, I don't try to do God's job for it. I never try to work harder than God. That's absolutely idiotic and ridiculous if you think you can work harder than God. You cannot do it. You must learn to turn those things over. You must turn things over and trust in this power. And this power will come to your aid. This power will always come to your aid. We're afraid to turn things over. We're afraid that that isn't true. How many people profess religion? How many people go to church? They do all this stuff. But then they don't turn anything over to God. They want to run their own lives. They want to do that. I tell this story, which I think about, maybe every 3 days. A ship was sinking, and they did everything that they could. You know, the lifeboats, they tried to patch it up. They tried everything. And finally, the captain said, we're going to have to pray. And a woman said, oh my God, has it come down to that? Has it come down to that? Meaning, you always think God last. The solution, has it finally come down to God? It should be the first thing you think about, let's go up to God. Let's go up to God and use it first instead of, we've tried everything. Has it come down to that we have to use God? See, use God first. Use God first, or whatever you want to call this thing, this power. You are connected to it. We're learning more and more about the connection of not only every living thing, everything is connected. Everything in the universe is connected in some way, shape, or form. We are connected. We are not isolated in any way, shape, or form. And we are sighing at this, approving that, improving that, improving that. Here again, this teaching called the Science of Mind or Religious Science, in the book Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes says that one day science will walk hand in hand with religion. And it's coming closer and closer and closer. We're learning all these things. For years, the church tried to separate science from religion. Remember, scientists had a very bad name. They locked up Galileo and they killed so many people and so forth because they didn't. They thought, oh no. But science is God. There is nothing outside of God. There is nothing outside of God. So all these scientific things have to be coming from the mind of God. And it comes through your mind, through your consciousness. So this is the time of year, this thing called spring. Have spring cleaning it. Spring starts tomorrow. I don't remember exactly at what time, but it occurs tomorrow. So, make it a part of you. The ancients used spring all the time. The heathens used spring all the time because they realize that there's a renewal going on constantly. And we can renew our thinking. We can renew our thinking. And we do that by changing our minds, by changing our attitudes. See, when change comes into you, something happens. The same thought will always produce the same result. The same thought will always produce the same result. But people are bound and determined, if I think that over again, I'll get a different result. You will not get a different result. It's a mathematical equation. A mathematical equation. So, what is going on in your consciousness? What is going on in this thing that I call the garden of your mind? You can call it the garden of your mind. You can call it the theater of your mind. You can call it anything you want. But there's something going on in your thinking, in that part of your mind, that you can change. You can weed it out. I just weed the thing out. I look at it as a garden. And I try to put my garden in order, in orderly rows. I mark those rows with what I want, and then I let it alone. I nourish it with good thinking, with good thoughts. I do not allow doubt and any negations whatsoever to come in to my thinking. If a negation starts to come, I absolutely pull it up like I would a weed. As soon as it starts to sprout, I don't wait to see what it is. I can recognize it right away. We like to play with that constantly, don't we? We think, oh, well, that won't blow. I'll just wait a minute and see what it goes. Well, it will turn in to the biggest monster in the world in no time. Why do you want it to blow up into this great big horrible thing that you can't take care of? When it's very small, you can get rid of it. When it's very small, you can get rid of it. But we love to play with those things. We love to tamper and we love to play because we're taught. We are puppets of our conditioning. And we think, oh, well, it won't be that bad this time. It'll be just as bad. Just as bad. Years ago, I used to tell people that your mind was like a bad neighborhood. Do not go into it alone. Do not go into it alone. You're saying you cannot do that. Your mind is not your friend. It will never be your friend. It has never brought you any good news. And you must tell it to go back to the nothingness from whence it came. Here again, I will use Mary Baker Eddy and tell you that you must argue with your mind like a lawyer before the court. And you must always make sure that you win. You must never allow your mind to win. You are not your mind. Number one thing to remember, I am not my mind. Now, I've told you earlier that the world is convincing. Your mind is convincing. It convinces you that it is you, and it is not you at all. It's just merely thinking. You see, you are not your mind, you are not your thoughts, and you are not the thinker behind the thought. You are much more than that. And that's what this teaching is about, to teach you. If you learn nothing else in this teaching, learn that you are not your mind. And people say, oh yes, I know I'm not my mind. I knew right away that they have no idea. Most people are convinced by their mind because we're taught that thinking and the mind are who we are. And we are not our mind. Our mind is ours to use. It is not us. It is not who we are. It is a wonderful gift given to us to be able to use. What happened is, with that gift, it did not come with instructions. If we had instructions, if we were born and we had a paper in front of us with those instructions, think of where we would be today. But we weren't. Why that is, I do not know. That's one of the mysteries that I cannot tell you. Maybe one day I'll know it, but right now I do not know that. But we're lacking the directions to our mind. How many people have bought something and refused to use the directions? Oh no, I can put that together. And they try to put the damn thing together without reading the directions. It usually fails. It wobbles, it does all kinds of things. You see? So now, know that you can get a manual for your thinking, for your mind, that you can use your mind correctly. That's all this is about, mind. It's about consciousness. So remember that you are not your mind, that consciousness or God is all there is. Anytime you're talking about anything else, you're off track. It's an illusion. It's always mind. It's always consciousness. And your consciousness is always showing. You cannot hide your consciousness. Now, your mind will tell you you can do that, but it's an impossibility. People say to me, how do you know this stuff, Dallas? Because I can see people's consciousness. I know what the people are doing. It's consciousness is not hidden. You can't hide your consciousness. It's an impossibility. It's always right there. So, changing your mind, changing your thinking, and changing your consciousness. And knowing that the inside and outside of life are one in the same thing. We just use that separation so that we can talk about it. We always are dividing things up into smaller units so that we can talk about it. But it's all one. It's all one. Combined together. This one, I just love this. The true measure of success is my ability to greet each day with a positive attitude and the assurance that I am in my right place and perfect place. My right place and my perfect place. So many people think that they should be something somewhere else. So many people think that you should be doing something else. And the outside of life, the world teaches you that success means all the trappings. There's nothing wrong with all those trappings. I would never tell you not to have them. But the true measure of success is my ability to greet each day with a positive attitude and the assurance that I am in my right place and perfect place. You're where you're supposed to be. You cannot be anyplace else because of consciousness. Where you are at the present moment, what you have at the present moment, you have because of your thinking, because of your consciousness. I get up every morning and I do many things, but one of the things is I remind myself that this is the day that the law of my mind is making, and I shall rejoice and be happy in it. This is the day that the law of my mind is making. You see, in the Bible it says this is the day that the Lord has made. We change the word Lord. Metaphysically, Lord means law. You see, it's the law of your mind that is making your day. If you wake up with the right attitude, how many people do you hear say, I got up on the wrong side of the bed this morning? Well, if you get up on the wrong side of the bed, go back and get up on the other side, for God's sake. Don't drag it around all day long, making other people miserable. You see, just get up again. Remake everything. It's your attitude. It's your attitude. But you are creating your day. If you want a nice day, you have to do that. How many times do you hear people say, oh, it's a horrible day today, it's raining. Not a horrible day, it's just raining. Day doesn't have any personality. Days are just days. There's sunny days, there's rainy days, there's this day, there's that day. That's not a personality. It's your attitude towards that. It's your attitude towards that. I had a friend years ago wanted to take her grandchildren to Dollywood. And it was raining that day. And the kids were all upset. Well, Pat, my friend, was in metaphysics, and she said to them, well, why don't we just look at it as liquid sunshine? She changed their mind. They went and had a wonderful day in the park. Wonderful day in the park. That's what you have to do. It's your attitude. Just change it. Rain has nothing to do with anything. Days are days. You are the one that's making the day with your thinking, with your attitude. Okay? All right. With that said, let's do a meditation. So let's just close our eyes. And the people that have been here before know that we're going to go into our mind and into that garden in our mind. And for the new people that don't know that, just follow me. See inside of you there in your mind's eye. See a garden. And now, what kind of a garden is it? Have you planted it correctly? Are the rows straight? Do you have them all marked so that you know that the thoughts that you are planting in your garden are the ones that you're going to get? Earlier, we got rid of all the resentments and the worries. We got rid of all the things that we did not need. So that now we have a garden there, which is very fertile, which has been tilled and raked so that it looks absolutely wonderful. Now, we realize that the thoughts that we are planting are going to go down into that fertile soil of our mind. And they're going to develop roots. And the roots are going to become very strong. And the seeds are going to start to sprout. And we're going to allow them to do that. And we're going to keep away all the weeds, all those doubts and fears, and all the other garbage that comes into our thinking. We are not going to allow it to take over our garden. We're going to remove all that stuff so that we have made for ourselves a wonderful garden. And let's also call it our secret garden. so that what we plant in that garden, we are not going to discuss with other people, so that they want to pull it up and tell you, oh no, don't plant that. Plant this instead. Oh no, that's not good for you. Let's do it this way. Let's do it that way. Keep those things to yourself. Make that a wonderful secret garden. Put a bench in that garden where you can sit down and see that bench now and sit down on that bench and look over that garden and see the order there. See how beautiful it's going to be. And as you're doing that, remove your shoes. And if you have socks on, remove those. And put your feet solidly on the ground so that you can feel that ground under your feet. So that you can feel any vibration is going on there. That you can actually feel those roots from those seed thoughts going down into that mind of yours. I know that you are grounded. You are completely grounded. And now look out over that garden. And start to expand that garden. So that it gets bigger and bigger. So that it expands past your former limitations. So that it expands right out through your skull. And see it going on and on and on. Where it is reaching out into the whole universe. And now see the whole universe as one big garden. And see how wonderful it has been planted. And you sit there on that bench with your feet on the ground. You come to the realization that you are sitting in the garden of total possibilities. The garden of total possibilities. That this wonderful universe, this friendly universe, this orderly universe, this universe that is screaming from every corner, screaming, you are a success. You are living in a garden of total possibilities. Sit there. Feel that. See that. Know that. You are actually living and moving and being in a field of total possibilities. You are unstoppable. You are unstoppable. And you realize now that you can think any thought that you want to think. You can plant any thought in that garden that you want to plant. And you can stop thinking any thought that you do not want to think. And you can uproot any thought that you do not want. You are here in a field, in a garden of total possibilities. Plant and pick the ones that you want in your life. And let the other ones go. They do not belong to you. You do not need them. So as you sit there on that bench with your feet firmly planted in that garden, you realize that you are free. You are free to think the thought that you want to think. You are free to become the person you want to become. You do that. And you give thanks that that is so. That you live in a universe where that is so. You give thanks that you have heard the truth about your being. That you have heard the truth about this mind of yours. That it is a fertile mind. And it will produce exactly what you put into it. And you are now putting into it what you want. And only what you want. You realize that this is a wonderful, wonderful experience and a wonderful gift. You are filled with joy. You are filled with jubilation. That you are alive. That you are being you. That you truly are one with the universe. But all you are is God. But you are not all that God is. Rest there in that truth a moment. You can come back when you're ready. Now that's as easy and as simple as this teaching gets. Do not make it difficult. Make it easy on yourself. All is mind. All is consciousness. And you can control your thinking. Remind yourself daily, I am not my mind. What is it doing to me now? What is my mind doing to me now? and then tell it to stop. Learn to take control of that mind. Learn to take control of your thinking. It's done with that. You may think it's anything. And most people think it's so complicated. And it's not complicated. That meditation is a wonderful meditation. You can change it any way you wish. Once again, we have used that wonderful gift that we are given. The biggest gift in our toolbox. The gift of imagination. And I will remind you what Einstein said about imagination. He said, imagination is more important than knowledge. Imagination is more important than knowledge. Paul said, with all you're getting, get understanding. Get understanding of yourself, of who you are. Realize that you are wonderful, magnificent beings with a splendor inside of you that is waiting to be released. So with closing, I will remind you that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. You'll catch on. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes. So fertilize that garden of your mind. Fertilize it with the idea that you are magnificent, that you are whole and complete and perfect, that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Every day go to your garden and use that as the fertilizer for the wonderful thoughts that you have planted in your garden to grow. That is the fertilizer that will make it grow. That is always the premise from which you should do all your thinking. That should be the foundation of your thinking. I seem to be on a biblical thing here tonight, but I will remind you one more thing that one of the master teachers, Jesus, said. You must build your home, your thinking, on a firm foundation. On a firm foundation. If you build your home on sand, on a weak foundation, it will not stand. But if you build your thinking on the idea that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, your house, your garden will be on a firm foundation. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.